Ryan Rashog from TSN. Shogger, how you doing?
Doing well today, pal. How are you?
I am all right. I guess let's start first of all with Clenn Denning, who we assume slides in with Brandon Davidson. Have you seen anything in his brief appearances thus far that make you think he might be part of the future of the Edmonton Oilers?
No, I don't think so. Not yet. I mean, it's a pretty limited sample size, though, just a couple of games. But I have some initial concerns in watching him play just with the overall foot speed and feel like there is some work that needs to be done there. I do like the fact that he, in his own zone, I mean, he's willing to take a hit to make a play. I don't see him shying away from that kind of stuff. So I like that. I think, he has some skill along the blue line, in the offensive zone as well. Looks like he's thinking shot. So I like that. But it's still a real, real small sample size, I'd say, to plan on him being around any more than this season.
Now, Ryan, we had lots of discussions about what went wrong the last time out. And yesterday you coined the term the doghouse line. Well, apparently we're going to see that line at least to start this game against Minnesota with Hendricks up top on the left wing. Can Matt Hendricks play there for a game or two, or are we more like talking a period or two?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And Jason, I mean, I don't know what your sense is. I mean, are you convinced that's the way it's going to start, you guys, that's what they'll end up doing get the game going tonight?
I'm not 100% convinced that it'll start. It might, because they ran practice that way yesterday, so it might start that way for a bit, but I fully expect Pouliot to be back on that line. He's been very good in February. You know what? Hey, he got his hand slapped for making a mistake in the game. I completely respect the coach for doing it. I think the coach had to do it, especially after having the meeting that morning to say, guys, we got to cut down those penalties. And like, if Pouliot takes an offensive zone aggressive forechecking penalty, I don't think McClellan loses his mind over it. But those two weren't that, and that's why he sent the message.
Yeah, and listen, and I asked Todd about kind of his strategy today when it comes to, you know, disciplining players a little bit. And if you look at the way Todd handled it the other night, guys, he made the mistake, got pulled off the line, but he was still on another line. He just got swapped. He served the penalty, which was a nice message. Then he was given another chance after Yakupov screwed up back on that line. And then, you know, so the coach went back to him. And then he made another mistake and basically sat for the rest of the game. But then, at the end of that game, when they needed a goal, he was back out on the ice again. So Todd's messaging was very clear to Benoit Pouliot that he wasn't happy with him and wasn't happy with the way it went and you know, kind of whipped him not once but twice in the course of that game, but then put him out at the end of the game, and he scored. It was a little too late at that point, but he was still out on the ice when they needed a goal. Todd's philosophy on this, and he talked about it today, was, I mean, if you got to be hard on players, you got to be hard on them, but you have to give them an opportunity to earn it back. You have to put them in a position to make it right. Because if all you do is whip them and then bury them, you're just beating them down, right? So if you look at the way Todd handled it last game, I think that's maybe a bit of a window into the way he's going to handle it moving forward. Does he maybe start them somewhere else? Sure. But I think Pouliot, I mean, Todd said yesterday it's a clean slate. So it would not surprise me at all if he was back on that line tonight and being given an opportunity to show the coach that he was going to stay on the right side of it. That wouldn't surprise me one bit. And to answer your question, Rob, and I don't think it makes a lot of sense to have Matt Hendricks playing on that line for any amount of time. Mm-hmm. I just don't think, it's not being disrespectful to Matt. It's not his type of line. He doesn't have the skill set to make that line work outside of digging some pucks out in the offensive zone. I think a guy like Cassian would make more sense, a bigger body that can dig pucks out, who can also make plays and distribute it and think the game on a little bit of a different level. So I don't think it would make sense. I think he was placeholding, and I think Pouliot, there's a good chance, ends up right back there.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You know, the other guy in the conversation, Neil Yakupov, he's also been in the news lately. It's not so much effort with Yakupov from where I sit, although he doesn't seem to pay as much attention to detail when it comes to the defensive side of things as a coach would like. But what do you got to say? him if you're Todd McClellan, because half the time it looks like he's working hard. I don't know if he actually is. And it's more like he doesn't know what to do, and you don't learn what to do overnight.
Yeah, well, I think, like when Taylor Hall was in his, we'll call it a slump, when he wasn't putting goals in at the rate he wanted to, I asked him what the minimum expectation was from the coach. So in other words, what's the message the coach is giving you in terms of, if you're not going to be putting up points and scoring, you know, I get that players go into slumps, here's what I still need you to do. And one of the things he talked about was the expectation is to be taking care of things in your own end and not sacrificing defense to try and get out of your slump offensively, to understand that it starts with playing well defensively and then you'll find your way offensively. And I think that Nail sometimes tries to do a little bit too much, and instead of making simple, steady, reliable plays, he's just vibrating all over the place, trying to make too much happen at any given moment. Whereas if you simplify, be smart in your own zone, be responsible in your own zone, make simple, reliable plays so the coach doesn't look silly for having you on the ice. And really, it comes down to trust. And Nail Yakupov made Todd McClellan look silly for giving him that opportunity the other night. Nothing burns you faster with a coach than when you make him look stupid for believing in you a little bit. And that's what happened the other night. So now Nail's got to get back to the drawing board of earning trust by showing a little bit of reliability in his game. Because he might score a goal tonight, but if the rest of his game is the same, it's not going to matter to the coach. Coach wants to see an understanding of what's required from a reliability standpoint. And that's what Nail needs to get back to doing. Take care of things in your own zone, be reliable, and the offense will come.
Get back to doing. How about start doing?
Yeah, well, there was a time this year where I thought Nail was playing a really nice two-way game where offensively he was getting some opportunities and putting some points up, but where he was also, you know, and maybe he felt some responsibility having an 18-year-old center on his line. He was actually doing a decent job in his own zone, and he had calmed his game down and was making steady plays more often. And that's gone. He's shown that he can do it, but it's gone right now.
Do you honestly think he can do it moving forward with this organization?
Probably not, would be my initial response to that. Probably not. He's in as big a rut here as we've seen him in. And you really get the sense that it's run its course. But I also don't think that a deal is going to make sense right away either. So I think he's going to get a longer look to the end of the year here and into the off season. I don't know that there's a trade that makes sense where boom, he's gone. So would I bet on it? Absolutely not. But Todd is still working with this player, right? I mean, what has he got, 36 games this year? I mean, it takes a manager half a season or more. It takes a coach at least that long to figure a player out, figure out what his triggers are, figure out how to motivate him. You know, when Todd talked today about, I really liked what he said about, you know, part of his message to the guys is, look, if you've heard from three of the last four coaches or four of the last five or all of the last five, if you've basically heard the same message about what you need to do, at what point do you need to maybe look in the mirror a little bit and realize, okay, maybe I don't know the best way, right? I think Todd, when he said stuff like that, was talking directly to Justin Schultz, talking directly to Nail Yakupov. And I think Todd isn't done working with the player yet. I don't give up at all on Nail.
You know, when I look at the matchup, you know, for immediate concerns, Minnesota hasn't been going that well. They need to get going, you know, mm-hmm. if they want to be in the conversation. When you've got a team like the Oilers, who've got two, three, however many guys, you pick your number, trying to get their game back against a desperate team, that's not a real good combination.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not. In Minnesota, they are in that range, right? I mean, they just had a coach fired. They've had a little bit of early success under the new guy. So they're going to be feeling it, and they're going to be wanting to keep momentum going, and though they don't have Devan Dubnyk. But they have a team that, I mean, they have some good veteran players who know how to play and win tight games in this league. And that's not a great recipe for the Oilers right now, who are having a little bit of a tough time functioning in these tight games. So, yeah, it doesn't line up great for them. But With that said, I mean, Taylor Hall played a great game last game, much, much better. Leon Draisaitl was better. Mm-hmm. You know, Connor's been quiet for a couple of games. I think he's maybe taken a few games to kind of – it was a little overwhelming for him the other night playing against the type of guys he was playing against. I can't imagine he's going to go quietly tonight. So I think he'll have something to say about it. I think the Oilers will bounce back a little bit here.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, we're now 10 days away from the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Who do you think Chiarelli finds a new home for between now and the deadline? Realistically, two trades, one trade, three, what do you think?
Well, the gravity injury definitely changes the dynamic of things a little bit. I'm going to say two trades. I'm going to say that Teddy Purcell gets moved and that Justin Schultz gets moved. Those would be the two names that I think get moved. Wasn't 100% certain which way they were going to go on Graba, but I think those will be the realistic deals that he can get done. And I think Teddy Purcell's had a good enough year that teams will be interested in adding him as a complimentary offensive player. And I think that Justin Schultz is a guy who a lot of teams will just view as a rental. And they'll look at him as a rental and say, look, we may or may not retain him next year. And if the Oilers understand that's where his value is and don't demand too much in return, then I could see there being a fit there. Because I think there will be teams, and I thought Justin Schultz played okay the other night. Like, there were a ton of scouts in the stands last night in the press box. And I actually thought Schultz, although he made some real mistakes, I actually thought he played okay. I think teams will look at him and say he needs a change of scenery, that it's sure. been a tough go in Edmonton, tough market to play in, tough for an offensive defenseman who's not producing, tough. And while they don't like the number, if the price is right, I think teams will take a chance on him. And I could see a trade there before the deadline.
Interesting. Ryan, one guy I'm no big fan of because he's been frankly terrible during his time in Edmonton. We didn't expect to see Nikita Nikitin here when we knew there'd be a call-up. I mean, just about everybody's name passed everybody's lips before his. But he can play in the National Hockey League. And might somebody take his ticket as a depth guy, knowing he can play in this league, if he can get into a couple of games here?
I'm going to say no.
No? No chance?
respectfully, I think the last time they called him up, they were thinking, okay, you know, they'll get him in here, get him playing a little bit, get him a few games. Look, he's been in the league before. He knows how to play in this league. He can do it. Get him in, see what he can do, you know, all those things. And he came in and played a couple games, and everybody went, yeah, that guy can't play in this league.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I said. That's what I thought. And now they've got a guy hurt and have no choice but to have him here, call him up, and I think it'll be a last resort putting him in the lineup even. And, I mean, maybe he'll surprise all of us, but I will be monumentally surprised if he steps in and is, like, a guy that looks like he belongs, gives them a rock-solid 3-4-game stretch, and they find somebody to take what's left on that deal. I'll be really surprised if that happens. I just think we've seen enough from him now to know. I mean, he's 29 years old. I think he just kind of is what he is.
Is he finished? Have the wheels come? I mean, the reason I ask, and like I say, it seems bizarre to ask, but I mean, why not call up, pick a name, from Bakersfield ahead of Nikita and just leave him down there? What does he give you that, Hunt doesn't give you at this time?
Somebody who you don't care if they sit in the press box for seven straight games. I mean, really. You don't want to call Reinhardt up to do that. You don't necessarily want to call Hunt up to do that. You don't necessarily want to call Musil or any of those guys up to do that. Look, man, I think Todd has a little bit more respect for professionals than that. I think that they'll give him a look. But, I mean, look what happened to Andrew Ferentz, you guys. I mean, this was the captain of their team. And they let that guy sit in the press box weeks on end without being able to find him games. So they're willing to do it. And I just think Nikitin is the guy, if you're going to call somebody up and have him sit in the press box, you'd rather it be him because there isn't a future in the organization for him, whereas some of these other guys there is.
Fact is, he's better than Brad Hunt. Brad Hunt is not an NHL defenseman. I'm not saying Nikitin is, but Nikitin's closer in my book. So the only guy you'd call up right now who maybe could help you is Reinhart, but you don't want him to come up and then have to play the right side either. So I'm with you. They're just going to try to basically Band-Aid this defense together through for the next 10 days.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And hope to God that maybe Klefbom can skate by March 1st.
Never mind band-aiding it together for the next 10 days till the deadline. How about band-aiding it together for the rest of the year? I mean, this is going to be a putt-putt finish for an Oiler blue line that's had a putt-putt year. I mean, they're just getting by with what they've got. And so now after the deadline, if Justin Schultz is gone or whoever, I mean, they tried to put Griffin in and he had a bit of a tough go. So they're going to say, okay, rather than have him flounder at the NHL level and lose all confidence at the NHL level, commit to having him down there. Let him play down there. Let him finish the year down there. Have some confidence and some success, even if it's not the league he wants to be in. Because at the NHL level, it's a real fine line, you guys. And I'm telling you, even people might not like me saying this, but even for Darnell Nurse, it's a very fine line between, and yes, he's had a good season, and he's done everything you could expect from a defenseman of his age and his pedigree, but whether this year was actually good for him or better for him than a year in the American Hockey League where I think he probably would have dominated, I think that's very debatable as to whether this was better for him than having been down there playing 24 minutes a night and feeling the offense as well. They didn't have a choice. They didn't have a choice because they're not good enough. Reinhart wasn't ready to play ahead of them, and so they had to do this. But I think with Griffin, it's pretty clear where he needs to be right now.
Shager, we'll see you at the rink. Have a good one.
Okay, guys, take care.